The second scripture is from the Gospel according to Matthew. And it's in the middle of the ministry of Matthew, but as we were talking about in Bible study, it's kind of a strange story to be in the middle. So we're going to listen to it, and then I'm going to speculate some on why it might be there. It's called the Transfiguration, and the new translations, I always like that Jesus' robe became as white as Fuller's soap. And that was always kind of cool. But anyway, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make 3 dwellings here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about this vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." May God add a blessing to the hearing and the understanding of this holy word. Amen. In movies, when the music switches to a minor key, or the volume gets so that you grab for your control, you know that something important is about to happen. Well, in the Bible, going up the mountain is one of those clues. And here we have 2 stories that the lectionary has put together about what we might glibly call mountaintop experiences. Now, for us, mountaintop experiences usually are a good day at work, or you know, maybe going on a retreat and coming back and feeling really good about it. But that's nothing like what's happening here. Okay, in the first lesson, Moses is going up the mountain to get the word from God, to get the tablets that will have the stuff, you know, the important things written on them. Anyone care to guess what they are? The 10 Commandments, right. Took him 2 trips, but we'll get into that another day. Yes, he went up because God summoned him and said, "I'll give you the tablets of stone. And they will have the law and the commandment, which I've written for the people's instruction." So Moses went up with him. He had his assistant Joshua with him and went up the mountain. And when they were leaving, because it sounds like they were going to be gone for a while, they said, "Wait here for us until we come back. And Aaron and Hur," I have to say Hur because it's not her, H-U-R, "are with you. And whoever has a dispute can go to them." Now that's because the leaders of the people served as judges. They would be the ones who would resolve disputes among the people. And so Moses was saying that even with Joshua and Moses gone, there were going to be a couple people that you could check in with if things got a little rocky. So Moses went up the mountain, and then a cloud covered it. A cloud covered the mountain. And the cloud covered it for 6 days, it says. So this was not just some wisp of something going by. This was serious cloud, you know. It wasn't fog that burned off in a half an hour. Now the appearance of the Lord on the seventh day, when he called Moses out of the cloud, was as burning fire. And it says that the people down the mountain could see this fire. But Moses was up there for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, 40 days and 40 nights is biblical code for a long time, right? I mean, it's not, you know, we wouldn't be measuring that with our PDAs and checking on the website that tells how many days it is from here to there. You know, it's like Jesus in the wilderness. It was a long time that he was out there. Couple things to notice about this. Well, one, in the passage right before this, 70 people and a few others went up with Moses too, according to the scripture. And so this was just the crux of the matter. But I found it interesting that when they went up there, a cloud came. They went up for revelation. They went up to learn what God had to say to the people. And the first thing that happens is they get covered with this cloud. Well, we'll get back to that in a minute. Okay. So, and then, of course, the rest of the, as Paul Harvey would say, and now for the rest of the story, while they were up there, Aaron and the people got a little restless. And when Moses came down the mountain, he found that they had used all their gold and jewelry and made this huge calf, an idol out of gold, a calf. And Moses, of course, speaking for God, was very unhappy about this. What are you doing with this? Aaron, I'm paraphrasing now, said, I don't know. We threw in the gold and out came this calf. You know, it was like a three-year-old giving an excuse for something that happened. So anyway, so this going up on the mountain to bring these things down, and the story goes that the first set got broken, had to go back and brought them down. If you watch Mel Brooks, there were 15 in the first set, but only 10 in the second set. So maybe we made out. I don't know. So this mountaintop experience certainly worked for Moses and Joshua, but the people were left kind of behind, I think. So then the story in Matthew. Now, as we read this story, Jesus took Peter and James and John, who were kind of his best buds. I mean, you know, they were the closest to him, and went up there. And it says that he was transfigured before him. His face started to shine, and his clothes turned bright white, so that they knew that there was something different about him. That was the story. It had to be there was something different about him. And I'll just stop right there for a second and speculate for a minute on why this story is located in the middle here where it is. I'm not sure about this creaking of the floor. I haven't been down here for a while. But I don't think we have to worry about it. Okay. Here he is in the middle of the ministry. And people have been following Jesus, these disciples, and the other followers, which included some women. We know that. And so they've been following him. But all they saw was this guy with dust on his feet, talking to crowds and all that. So now here's this episode right in the middle, smack dab in the middle, that says, look, there is something different about this man. There is something different about this man. And Moses and Elijah came and were talking with Jesus. Now, Elijah was rumored not to have died. If you read the end of Elijah's life story, he was taken up into heaven. So the Jewish people had this idea that he was still alive. And there was evidently a kind of a thing about that with Moses too, although the scripture in Deuteronomy reports that he got up Mount Nebo and was shown the promised land as he had been promised, but that he died there and was buried. So, you know, but Moses and Elijah, two important prophets, an earlier prophet and a later prophet from the Jewish tradition, are there to meet Jesus. So this, for Matthew, who was talking to Jewish people mostly, tied Jesus to them. It tied him back into that tradition. But they didn't get transfigured. Okay? So Jesus was, though, singled out and made to show the content of his heart and soul, the divinity, if you will, of Jesus in the midst of a whole pile of the humanity of Jesus. And then a bright cloud came and overshadowed them. There's the cloud again. And I wondered about that, and I thought, you know, for you and me, how much time do we spend that there are, you know, for extended periods, that there are no clouds? It seems there are clouds an awful lot sometimes. Sometimes the clouds pile on, you know, illness, unemployment, death, strife in the family, all those clouds. So I think it's in a way ironic that right at the time we're seeing more about God, hearing from God, learning more about Jesus. It's not done out here on the sunshiny plain. It happens in the cloud, right? It happens in the cloud. And picking up on Joanne's thing, maybe it picks up, it's there so that you have that chance to keep on and know that you have to keep on and keep going. And then, reminiscent of Jesus' baptism, which of course was at the very beginning of his time, the voice from heaven comes and says, "This is my son, and with him I am well pleased." I'm again, that affirmation, mid-course, middle of the midterm, for the public servants among us, you get that affirmation that, yes, this is what he is. This is who he is. Okay? But then he goes on to say something that's not said at the time of the baptism. Listen to him. God has obviously been watching what's going on and has added this stipulation. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard him, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. And having to be just been told by God, listen to Jesus, I think all of us would be a little fearful. But Jesus touched them. He reached out and touched them. He said, Do not be afraid. This is what we're here for. This is how we're here. This is why we're here. And then they looked up and everything else was gone. Oh, and they did their best to try to preserve the moment. You notice they wanted to build houses. They wanted to build houses for Elijah and Moses and Jesus. But that never happened because the cloud got in the way, I guess. So for us, we spend a lot of time looking and listening and hearing about Jesus in a how-do-you-live-your-life way. And Jesus is teacher, and Jesus is prophet, and Jesus is a man who was without sin, and so on and so forth. But for me, sometimes I get caught up in that day-to-dayness. And I think that the scriptures today remind us that there's a whole different dimension to this. That there's a vertical dimension as well as a horizontal dimension. Jesus is, for us, a teacher, a prophet, a friend, a forgiver, a comforter. I've got to be careful about my terms here because that's the Holy Spirit's called the comforter. But Jesus is there for us. But Jesus also is God. Jesus is the conduit from God. One way I like to say it is that Jesus is how God knows what it's like to be us. Jesus is how God knows how it is to live in that flipping cloud and not be able to see what way to go or where to go. But through that cloud, God speaks. And through that cloud, God becomes like a fire that you can see from way down the road. Okay? So it behooves us, I think, at this point in time, as we're entering Lent, during Lent, we're hopefully going to be focusing ourselves a little bit more on following Jesus. And so I think it's sort of like the promise of that bicycle, if you get to learn. We've got that promise that Jesus is God. And that promise is to sustain us when we're tired, when we're feeling broken, when we're caught in the cloud. That promise is there. And the promise is that God will never leave us. There's always that signal fire out there for us. And so I pray that during this season and in all of our days, we will be able to remember that upward dimension of Jesus, and that we will always be willing, able to see him and to see God in the cloud. And when we can see him, then, darn it, we're going to have to listen to him too.